Leading the design strategy for global brands inside a multinational corporation involves supporting cross-functional teams in order to guide markets during the brand-building journey. The key challenge is to translate business ambition into creative strategy in order to build long-lasting brands. Packaging design should seduce, inform, and even save the planet. I'm Hernán Braverman, and this is Branderman, the podcast where I talk with experts to uncover what it actually takes to make a positive impact on consumers, the market, and society. Warning: keep this podcast out of the reach of close-minded marketers and designers. Before the interview, let me introduce my design agency.
Brands with purpose. Human, agile, honest brands that leave no one indifferent. Tridimage creates and revitalizes brands to imagine and shape the future. Tridimage, the branding and packaging design agency for bold brands.
Today, I had the pleasure to speak with Bruno Singulani, a Brazilian designer and currently the creative leader for all global food brands at Nestlé and a member of the PentaWatt jury. Bruno graduated as a product designer, and his professional and academic paths have eventually converged into roles with a strong focus on branding and strategic design management. In this episode, we discuss how to achieve a healthy balance between a global brand strategy and the freedom to be locally relevant. He also tells me why creating intimacy with a brand is key to develop impactful design solutions. Today, with me, Bruno Singulani. Bruno, each of us is a container of ideas, projects, and dreams. However, we can't read the label when we are inside the jar. What do you think your label says, or what would you like it to say?
I think that as designers, we tend to read people very well. We have this empathy that allows us to understand and to put ourselves into their shoes in a way and understand what's happening outside. And we naturally look for those kind of hidden messages throughout the conversation. And through time, we develop skills to interpret those labels. But for me personally, it does not necessarily translate to a self-awareness ability. I like to think that people see me as a positive and provocative thinker that adds values to conversations in a different way, that brings always a specific point of view, a different perspective, that encourages and inspires people somehow. I hope this is what people actually see as well. So not an easy answer, I would say.
It's like an oxymoron, that idea of a positive provocation. Normally, we think about provocation like in negative terms, no?
It's interesting because it has to be something that puts people out of their comfort zone, right? When you bring some questions that somehow exposes them, it might be uncomfortable for sure. But those kind of questions might really move forward the conversation. From my experience, when you get into those kind of hard and difficult conversations, it's where normally you get more value for any project, because that's where really you find the real bottlenecks, what's really holding up the project. Difficult conversations can enable those knots to untie.
Instead of moving forward, let's move backwards. What was the path that led you from studying industrial design in Rio de Janeiro to leading a design strategy for global culinary brands at Nestlé in Switzerland?
It all started with my childhood, actually, because I think design has been always there in a way, this kind of curiosity. First of all, I always loved to draw and create. That choice, that big choice about what should I do about my career, it was actually easy for me. But then when I get into the university, my heart at the time was really split between two passions. I was playing basketball. I thought I was good enough. So I tried for a while to merge those two passions between basketball and design. I was obsessed about brands like Nike, Adidas, Jordan, and especially on footwear design, because my background was originally on industrial design. And that was my dream job, design the next Air Jordan. But then actually my first professional opportunity came in a completely different field. I was actually applying for all the sorts of different internships. And then a beauty company called me for my first opportunity. I still remember the HR person running the interview asking me, what is the relationship you have with beauty products? And I was like, well, pretty much very basic. I'm not very much into that industry. And she was very surprised by my honesty. Oh my God, I should have said something else. But actually that worked out because they really wanted someone with this kind of fresh eyes perspective to look into that category. And that's how it all started with branding and packaging. And through time, those two universes, the FMCG universe, was slowly taking over basketball and footwear design. That was a very great school because they always had this unusual approach to marketing. They had to play against the giants like Unilever. So we had to invest a lot on design and agility to be faster and actually understand deeply the Brazilian culture. And that was the biggest value I still bring to my career nowadays. The idea of anthropology as a way to understand consumers, not with what they say, but how they behave. Understand why they do what they do, but not by simply asking them why. Understanding the hidden triggers or motivations, why a woman changes the color of the hair. And that was fascinating to me, really understanding that level of human behavior and apply that on branding and design was something that I enjoyed quite a lot. So after quite a while in this in-house design team, then this same team moved into an agency. But then finally, I joined this agency. So now I've had this second experience outside of the corporate world and now getting exposed to different categories like food as well. And then after a while, that same company called me back saying, now we want to reestablish the in-house design team. We want you back. Can you come back? And then that's where I also improved my leadership skills to really rebuild the whole team, reintegrate with the marketing and brands team. And then after a while, I got the opportunity at Nestlé. Nestlé in Brazil is very interesting because we have a very interesting mix of local brands, big and powerful local brands, which gives you much more freedom, and also big global brands like KitKat. It was a very interesting mix of brand building through design in a local brand and also how to adapt global guidelines to a local reality. It was a very intense period of time because we wanted to really change the role of design within the company. We wanted to really put design at a higher strategic level. I still have very good memories from that time on the brands that I worked that are very close to my heart. As you can imagine, growing up in Brazil and being able to redesign your favorite chocolate brand, that was like a dream, honestly. It was so cool. But then this opportunity here at the center came and it felt like something I couldn't say no to, live here in Switzerland and to have the opportunity to lead a global brand like Maggi. The complexities that you face having to, first of all, play with all the political side of being at the headquarters of the biggest food and beverage company in the planet. That's already enormous. Like, it's really sometimes scary at the very beginning because you need to move your own agenda, but everyone else also has their own agendas. So it's a constant dance, I would say. It's more like a tango than a samba because it's quite intense and dramatic in a way. My boss has this say, you need to work with the power of the idea. Because Nestlé as a company is not as much top-down as some of its peers. So we have those different entities within the company, like the zones, the market, and then the center, like the strategic business units, which I'm inside. And then it's this kind of constant battle for the balance, how much the global strategy that normally looks for the mid-long-term perspective will influence the present at the market level. So this has been a super rich experience. I wasn't expecting to be so dynamic, especially on the plant-based side, something that we've been now investing a lot And that's a topic that is very close to my heart. I'm a vegetarian for the past 10 years. I love the brands we have on our portfolio. I love the possibility that this plant-based revolution might bring to the planet overall, because food is very linked to the culture, right? So you cannot simply go and impose your point of view. And that's the balance that we need to find when designing the brand strategy. How much of freedom within the framework you leave so the local teams can adapt to their reality without losing the brand consistency and without jeopardizing the strategy.
What do you understand about design now from inside a large corporation that you didn't understand before when you were on the agency side?
Definitely, it just proved me that design is something that a lot of people like to talk about and they think they do understand. But the true understanding of design and its role, it's not very often there. Sometimes the whole understanding of what design does and what design impact on a brand might be restricted in many cases. You need to match the business intent, the business momentum, with the overall competitive landscape. What are the new brands bringing to the table, or in this case, to the shelves? And how is that changing our consumers' perception about our brand? So it's a much larger discussion than simply saying that if this is right or wrong for the brand, if it's safe or if it's too risky. We still have to challenge ourselves to do even a greater job for greater impact in the marketplace.
What is the best and the most difficult part of being a design leader within a major multinational company?
Well, sometimes I just feel kind of alone. You know, we have our design community. I'm not the only one, of course, but we're definitely not the majority. And as I said before, working with the power of the idea to bring people to my side and to convince them about the direction I'm proposing. And the other element that it's also tricky is how to collaborate with external partners. Because I think it's different when you have a marketeer briefing a design agency and when you have a design person briefing a design agency. The expectations are different. Even the starting point is different from my perspective. So that relationship with the agencies is also something that requires quite a lot of energy and attention, because they are used in most of the cases to work with marketeers, and working with the designer requires a different dynamic. And the beauty of being a designer at a big corporation like Nestle is to be able to really bring massive impact with the work I developed with the brands I work on. This is definitely something that motivates me to really see the positive impact that we can have on peoples and communities and ultimately on the planet.
I would like to know, what defines for you a good packaging design agency?
For me, a good packaging design agency must, first of all, understand not only the brand it's working with. That's a must have for sure. I mean, you need to be in a very deep relationship with the brand to create this intimacy, to understand its history, everything that happened since day one of that brand and all the innovations, the successes, the failures. So that level of intimacy for me creates ultimately great design work. The agencies that are curious enough to go deep and understand the brand, for me, that's number one. Number two, it's understand then the other side of the spectrum, which is all the bigger picture, starting, of course, with the competitive landscape, the key players in that industry. But honestly, I love when agencies bring even a broader perspective, because at the end of the day, consumers are being exposed to so many different visuals, not only visual, actually, even like sonic and textures. So they are being influenced by the latest Beyoncé single, by the latest launch of Apple, and everything else in between when they are doing their grocery. So understanding kind of the zeitgeist, right? What's really happening outside? What are in the semiotics? And I really like that framework from the semiotics of understanding visual codes as a journey, right? What are the residual, the dominant, and the emerging codes? It's something that really helps me to sell great design internally, because I think it's easier for non-designers to visualize what's going on, almost like in a timeline, right? What used to be modern and natural, for instance, in food, what currently is depicting natural and modernity and what is about to become mainstream. You want consumers to understand clearly what you're talking about, but also with that kind of edgy side that makes it feel more modern, makes it feel that a brand is in tune with what's happening around it. Those are the skills or the attitudes that a great design agency should always bring to the table.
Bruno has challenged iconic global brands to reinvent themselves, while also empowering startup-like initiatives, achieving positive business results through design-led innovations. I know that you have been involved both in the redesign of well-known brands, but also in the creation of brand new brands. What ingredients does the perfect recipe for innovation in the FMCG market need? How can we find the balance between creativity and the business size of a project?
I think creativity will probably play a role on how to make that innovation stand out, right? We've seen many very clever and disruptive innovations be a flop because maybe the way they communicated or the way they were advertised or designed were not engaging enough with the right audience. And that's where creativity plays a key role to really find the right tone of voice, the right visual behavior to be unique, distinctive in the marketplace, and literally create desire. That's what creativity does. I think the other elements are super important because at the end of the day, it's always a business and you need to be able to create something that it's sizable, that it will be intuitive enough. I think intuitiveness is a key element as well, because if you somehow innovate in a disruptive way, that it's too far-fetched, too much of disruption just for the sake of disruption, you might lose consumers along the way because it requires some level of intuitiveness. And then it doesn't mean that you need to be obvious. And I think that's the role of design, how you can deliver intuitive messages in a distinctive way, that it's unique to your brand. That will lead to successful businesses. That will lead to sales, of course. And on top of that, what makes it a bit more complex within the Nestle context is that it's not every day that we create a new brand. No. Normally are used to buy brands, right? If they're already mature enough, sizable enough, and we still see opportunity to scale up and through our distribution, through our footprint, make it even a better businesses, we go there and buy those brands. But most recently, some of the opportunities out there are so unique that it doesn't necessarily, there are already the right solutions for Nestle out there to be acquired. So that's what we did recently with a brand that we launched at the end of last year in the Netherlands. And now we're rolling out to France, Spain, Switzerland, and more markets will come after, which is a brand about Middle Eastern cuisine. And I'm super proud of that project. It's called Maz East, and it's targeting those young families like millennials with kids that they've been exposed to different cuisines and they want to explore different flavors, but they don't necessarily have all the skills or the confidence to cook at home. So we had to find the right product format that would be intuitive enough, approachable in a way that makes you feel encouraged to try it for the first time at home. And at the same time, delivering a level of authenticity, because all those cuisines are all about authenticity. It was a lot of work behind to convince all the right people on why we should create a new brand when actually we already have more than 100,000 brands listed on our legal file throughout the whole planet. So it's a pretty good question why another brand can't we use any of the other 100,000 brands listed already? And I think there are many different rational reasons to do so. And I think we found the right ones and it's working quite nicely now.
That's great. What would you recommend to a brand manager facing the challenge of seducing new generations?
Yeah, I think understanding your brand uniqueness is something that is critical to be able to finally understand what you want to communicate through design. And it's not simple as just looking outside and understanding graphic trends and applying them to your brand. You need to find this balance between the iconicity, what makes your brand distinctive, and this kind of visual language happening outside that you need to adapt to your brand. It doesn't really matter if you put a lipstick in a pig, it's still a pig. If you just changing the dress, doesn't necessarily change the content, right? If at the end of the day, the product doesn't deliver, award-winning design will not save your brand from failing.
About failing, what is the worst design crime you have ever seen or committed?
Well, I think we've all been there, done that, the kind of classic client behavior of mix and match of creative concepts. You like something in one, but then the option number three has also something interesting. That can work sometimes, but normally it's a compromise of both routes. And if they are really based on creative concepts, it can create something weird. And I think I've done that and I've seen that happening quite a lot. It sometimes can work, but normally it's not necessarily the best solution. And some things that still surprise me sometimes is this lack of basic knowledge of contrast and legibility of elements. Some creative people tends to put the functional side of design in a kind of a secondary level versus the aesthetics. And sometimes I still face some very not efficient levels of color contrast or even shape contrast and legibility and things like that.
How do we design mass consumer packaging for a sustainable tomorrow?
That's a very important question. I think the first step is really to reduce. That's the first R on sustainability as a mindset. Especially at big corporations like Nestle, just by reducing the amount of packaging that we produce in each and every product has already a massive impact. So the first one is definitely reducing. And then a much more elaborated way of thinking and something we need to exercise more and more is about rethinking the different solutions we have, either format-wise or materials. So that's definitely not as simple because it has major impacts on the whole value chain, on the factory lines. You cannot simply say from now on, I'm going to move everything that it's PET to paper. It doesn't work like that. So you need to find also the technology that will enable those changes to happen in a bigger scale. And still in this kind of rethinking side of the spectrum, I think different business models, it's also critical for designing FMCG in the future, like reusable, refillable packaging formats and all this kind of interesting concepts of stores that are without any packaging, that you just bring your own jar or your own bag and you refill with the products you need. And what is interesting about that, and I still remember like 5 years ago, I was giving a design conference in the US. And I was actually talking about that because even in that extreme scenario, the store without any packaging, you still need a brand, yeah. Right? So the beauty of it is that even without any kind of conventional packaging, the role of brands are still there because you need to trust that brand to buy your food, your beverage. And in some cases, there will be always a container, right? Maybe it's not going to be a disposable one. Most probably and hopefully will be something you can reuse, but that container can also be designed, can be branded. And nowadays, we kind of repurpose used or empty jelly jars to put nuts and seeds into those stores, but those were not designed for that, right? So I think this will also unlock different possibilities in the future. I mean, this is already happening and it's been also speed up by the whole pandemic as well. So I think it's already happening.
And talking about the future, what changes do you think we will see in the coming years in the world of brands and their package design?
I think definitely the role of sustainability. I think each and every brand will have to add some value in that big battle and show its contribution to that. So I think that element of the brand building process will be more and more relevant, and how we finally communicate that on packaging design, for instance. We're seeing already some brands communicating the amount of carbon footprint on pack. And that's quite new. And I'm pretty sure consumers have no clue if that's high or low. But there's something there that it's talking about the brand, that it's this brand is concerned about carbon footprint. So there will be probably new certifications and standards on how to communicate all of that, because it can be quite misleading. And I think trend-wise, brands will become more and more digital native in a way. And that influences directly our field of work. Well, graphic design doesn't need to be constrained by all the technical limitations of printing. Why should you design a brand today that it's not animated, that it's not moving, that it's not dynamic? And that, I think, unlocks some dogmas on brand design and graphic design, like it has to be very much locked as a brand. I think this notion of kind of moving brand, a brand that is fluid in a way, that still delivers identity, because that's what really matters. If you can still deliver identity in this more fluid way and non-binary way, I think that resonates a lot with Gen Z. They don't put themselves into boxes. And I think we will start to see that being reflected on brand behaviors. And I think that's another very, very interesting next frontier for us as designers.
Yeah, sure. Do you think that Latin American designers can bring a new perspective to the world of design?
Well, definitely, definitely. First of all, I think there's also another big topic about really understanding local culture. There's quite a lot of conversations happening, still kind of on the underground of the design community, but how you can be inclusive and diverse through design without simply emulating Western or European points of view. I've seen some agencies already committing to that and looking to a more genuine design language. I know some Brazilian agencies, for instance, that are very deeply involved with the Brazilian culture, and they're trying their best to really find a language that is culturally relevant. It's interesting, it's beautiful, but it's not necessarily simply replicating established rules. So what is very valuable on what you just asked me is that, for sure, I think designers should be able to have a fresher eye on that topic and understanding how to create real, authentic visual languages for the culture you are immersed in. And that's, of course, different from creating global brands. And it goes back to that question I was talking about the freedom within the framework, how much a brand like Maggie can allow the Argentinian culture to come in. It makes the brand feel like local in a way, because again, food is local. I see a very important contribution to the whole design community globally, really looking with the less stereotypical lenses.
What do you think are those two or three concepts or ideas that most clients and designers have deeply rooted in our heads and that we should think about erasing completely in a short period of time?
I think one that is kind of already going away, but it's still there, which is about the transparency and being genuine when it comes into product depiction. We've all seen those kind of blogs comparing the McDonald's food shot and the real burger. And I truly believe that there is beauty within imperfection, this kind of natural imperfection. Nature is never perfectly sharp and perfectly symmetrical. Trying to emulate perfection digitally with over manipulating on Photoshop and things like that, that's definitely something I think we should all move away from and embrace the beauty of natural imperfection. And another thing that it's important for everyone involved in the brand building journey, the marketeers and the designers, is to really make that key question about what can we do more with this brand, with this product or this portfolio to contribute to a better future. I bumped onto a very interesting concept the other day, which is about ontological design. And it basically says that what you are designing is actually designing you back. What we are putting out there, it's ultimately coming back to us, as basic as that. We should think critically about what can we do better in each and every project we face. And I know that's not simple because we have all the pressures, we have budget limitations, timelines. But I think if we can slowly and step by step bring those positive impact through our work, through design, through marketing. And it's not only about sustainability, it can be also on social causes. There's a lot going on out there about inclusivity, diversity. I think we should all think carefully in each and every briefing we receive and how we can move things forward in a brighter direction for a brighter future.
Great. What is your next adventure?
My next adventure. I can tell you that Nestle will keep pushing for a greater sustainability agenda, and this is high on my priorities as well. I'm always very curious, very open, interested about new adventures. So who knows? I hope there will be a lot of fun. I think it's always important to find adventures or challenges that you can have fun in between. Of course, a lot of hard work, but it has to be something there for you as well, right?
Bruno, thank you so much. You started by mentioning that your dream was to become a professional basketballer. I picture you playing at the NBA, the Nestlé brand adventures.
Oh, that's a good one. So I finally made to the NBA, another end, but yeah, that's a cool one. Thanks for that.
Obrigado, Bruno.
De nada. Gracias.
I hope you have enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. You can check the episode notes for all the relevant links. I also invite you to follow me on Instagram and on my website, branderman.design. Follow the podcast in your favorite app so you don't miss the next episode of Branderman, the podcast where we try to uncover how to make a positive impact on consumers, the market, and society through package design.